Good morning, everyone. We begin with a story that we told you about yesterday. One of the biggest pharmaceutical heists in history, which took place in Connecticut over the weekend, when thieves stole $75 million worth of drugs from an Eli Lilly distribution warehouse. They were mostly antidepressant drugs. And it may just be a snapshot of both an economic problem and an abuse problem with prescription drugs in this country, which is why we asked Gil Kerlikowske, who's the director of White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, to join us on the program. We spoke with him a moment ago. He's back with us. Gil Kerlikowske, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we were thinking about this $75 million worth of drugs that were taken from this Eli Lilly warehouse. And you've talked on many occasions about prescription drug problems in the United States being perhaps equally serious to illicit drug problems that you're often asked about. There are some criminals that are betting that they can unload $75 million worth of not narcotics, not painkillers, not, you know, sort of recreational drugs, but antidepressants on the black market. How is that possible, sir?
Well, I think the concern is always about the fact that some drugs have been illicitly manufactured and given fraudulent labels, oftentimes overseas. Some drugs are sold through the internet. And I think that's always been a warning that that health officials have given to the American consumers to be very careful, very wary, particularly if the deal looks too good to be true. But we know with the cost of prescription drugs, that people are going to look and figure out a way to make money if they can. You just have to realize the great danger to people's health with this kind of a problem.
Well, I'm listening to what you say. You refer to there the rising cost of prescription drugs. It sounds as though the pricing policies of drug companies, which vary from country to country, in a sense creates a pretty huge problem for someone like you who's supposed to control drug distribution, prescription, and illicit drugs.
Well, the issue for us, quite frankly, has been the prescription opioid painkillers and the rising increase across the country. We've seen more deaths from or drug-induced deaths than gunshot wounds. In 17 states, we've seen more fatalities from drugs than from car crashes. And that should be a real wake-up call. And this is led by prescription drug overdoses. And, of course, these aren't coming into the country from illicitly from another country. They are actually coming right out of our own medicine cabinets.
And the growth of demand on the prescription side, it seems to me, has had the net effect of commodifying these opioids so that they're really very easily obtainable on the black market. And I'm wondering if there's any way to really reverse that.
Well, they have been. They've been obtained, quite frankly, through people who doctor shop. They have been obtained through physicians in so-called pill mills, particularly in South Florida, where they are working very hard to get that under control. And one of the ways to get it under control is that about 40 states have prescription drug monitoring programs, electronic databases that allow health officials to look at doctors who may be over-prescribing or patients who may be doctor shopping.
Now, if these criminals are able to unload antidepressants, they aren't controlled substances in the way doctors are monitored in their prescription frequency for opioids. Doctors, I understand, have to fill out separate paperwork to write prescriptions for things like OxyContin or Vicodin, right?
That's exactly right. The narcotic painkillers are the more highly controlled substances. And those are the ones that the prescription drug monitoring plans are the ones they're most attuned to looking for problems in that area.
Based on this heist and possibly a growing black market for other drugs like, say, Viagra, et cetera, would you propose extending those regulations to drugs outside of the opioid category?
Well, I'm not sure that would help in particular. This seems to be a very well organized, as some of the other cases were, group of thieves who obviously knew exactly where they were going, what they wanted to take, and they obviously have a market somewhere, someplace to unload this.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, you know, your job is big enough as it is, but are you possibly looking at a historical turning point here where this problem is about to get much bigger?
Well, we'll be meeting with the Drug Enforcement Administration and talking with them because they have investigators throughout the United States, and to try and find out if, in fact, this is more of a particular organized ring or if these are throughout the country. So I think there's probably more to find out about this story. But this is the one that really raised the red flag, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it does make me worry that your job is actually going to, you know, double or triple. Let me talk about another story that's actually been dominating the headlines this week. The violence, of course, over the weekend in Ciudad Juarez, directly a result of the war between the Mexican government and drug cartels south of the border. Violence is a real problem in Juarez. And Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, told our partners, the BBC, this week that the violence is a problem for both the U.S. and Mexico, and it has its origin, he said, in the consumption of drugs in the U.S. and the criminality associated with trafficking. It's a demand problem north of the border, according to the Mexican president. What's your response to that?
Well, one, Secretary Clinton, several months ago in her trip to Mexico, and I think she was followed closely by the Attorney General and also by Secretary Napolitano from the Department of Homeland Security. But Secretary Clinton clearly admitted and said, look, the drug problem is a shared responsibility. It's also an important responsibility of the United States to reduce our own demand, and there is no doubt about that. But there's another important part to keep in mind, and that is in the countries I visited, including Mexico, Colombia, Russia, Afghanistan, there is a growing addict population, and that is because traffickers pay their employees with the product rather than with cash. And so when they have this extra product, they turn and literally infect or addict some of the most impoverished people in the world, and it should be a concern on a global nation issue.
Finally, with health care reform looking for a vote this weekend, if more people lose their health insurance and can't afford prescription drugs, does that enlarge the demand and the market for prescription drugs and increase this problem before we go?
Well, here's what's going on with that. And as far
quickly
as people using these painkillers, they become addicted to them, and then when they can't get off them, they turn to heroin.
All right.
And we are seeing an increase there.
All right. Gil Kulikowski, director of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy in Washington, D.C.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.